That's the way you live out the Bodhisattva ideal. He did this in English, and it seemed very simple, and I would say, on one level, extremely convincing. You want to know yourself? Be kind to others. Know your identity in that way. It's a classic expression of the Bodhisattva ideal, and it's based on an assumption of difference. I am who I am. I'd like to know who I am perhaps a little bit better, and there is my neighbor over there, and let me try to help him in some way. Let me try to remove that person's suffering. And then he said, you know, in that kind of sly way that you do at the beginning of a talk like this, but, you know, this doctrine of self is a little more complicated than that in the Mahayana tradition, and I can't really explain it to you in English because I'm not all that good at it. So I'm going to shift to Tibetan, and I'm going to give you the 7 different reasons why there is no identity in anything. He may even have lowered his voice a little bit and said, well, I'm going to give you the 7 reasons why everything is empty of identity. He had a translator who was translating this for him in a fairly mechanical but a very impressive way, because it was a technical form of Tibetan that's not all that easy to translate. And he showed us the 7 different reasons why we did not exist as selves, and that neighbor whom we were attempting to help also did not exist as a self, and in fact, 7 different reasons why everything was empty of any kind of identity. There was no self in anything. And then he paused at the end of the lecture, getting a little close to the end. You know, we were expecting him to bring it to a conclusion, and he began to smile a little bit, and he said, well, you know, if there isn't any self, and there really isn't even any no self, there's nothing for us to talk about, who is it who told you all of this? Who told you this? Who delivered this lecture to you? And he smiled a little bit more. And he used a phrase in Tibetan that I still very vividly remember. Dak tsam. Dak tsam. The translator translated it as mere I. Mere I. The Harvard Crimson reporter heard this and went back to the newspaper and wrote an article explaining that the Dalai Lama thought the personality was right here in the eye, right here in the eyeball. But obviously, I mean, if you think about this a bit, he wasn't talking about the I, E-Y-E, he was talking about the I, the letter I, the mere ego. And I think to capture the real drift of the real force of the Dalai Lama's words at that moment, you wouldn't want to use a technical phrase like mere I. You would want to say something like, just me. Who is it who's delivering this to you? Just the little old Dalai Lama. Just me. That's the spirit, I think, of this third stage. That's really where the doctrine of emptiness is trying to take you. It involves a wise, somewhat humorous, perhaps, appropriation of the categories of the conventional world, to speak again abstractly as we were speaking before, but to appropriate them with a sense of freedom and a sense of lightness. I've often talked in the Buddhist tradition about buoyancy, about lightness, and about freedom. Emptiness, in the end, is that kind of feeling. It's the appropriation of the categories of the conventional world with a sense of freedom, wisdom, buoyancy, humor, with a smile. Now, if that's true, what effect is it going to have on us in this world? A lot of people think that if everything is empty of any kind of identity, then there's no reason for us to take seriously anything that we do. In fact, they find it a very depressing idea. A lot of the stuff that they thought was so important to them no longer is significant anymore. This is that old negative fear that you see popping up from time to time in the Buddhist tradition throughout all of its history. But if you can feel the doctrine of emptiness as I've been trying to express it to you here with the lightness of the Dalai Lama's smile, what you sense is not a feeling of negativity, a feeling of depression, a feeling that something important has been taken away from you. In fact, you feel some sort of a surge of infinite possibility. Often the doctrine of emptiness is expressed as power in the Mahayana tradition, not as disability, but a sense of being genuinely empowered